Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Hey there, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland on a Monday to get you started. It was a football weekend. How was it for everybody? If you're a Chiefs fan, it was fine, right? 13-point win on the road. You know, we were all a little concerned in the first half, and then the Chiefs end where they need to. We'll get into that. We'll get into KU's big win to open Big 12 play. We got a lot coming up for you on the show today. Wyatt Thompson will join us here in just a few minutes. We'll get you ready for K-State's Big 12 return and see if anything's changed or if he senses any changes there. With Wildcat football this week in Manhattan. We also, I believe, have Jalen Thompson, depending on his travel schedule, in the next hour. Sort of a, we're not quite done with the Royals season, but we're done with the Royals season, so we'll look back and recap and do all that. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. Now featuring the Pep Pep Pepperoni Pizza, topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pep Pep Pepperoni, now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ. Welcome in. How are you?
Good morning. It was a crazy football weekend. I know that you'll appreciate this. I know any TV nuts at home will as well. But last night was the NBC getting off the air at 10:42 window, right in the middle of a Sports Sunday show on KWCH. So lots of chaos last night to end off the night after watching that first half that, you know, made you want to scratch your eyes out a little bit. But awesome day of football. Awesome day of Chiefs football at the end of the night, if you want to call it that. A busy Sunday, I guess.
Yeah, look, I don't think any Chiefs fan are beating their chest about it. But at the end of the day, in the NFL, you don't take 13-point road wins lightly. Go ask the Green Bay Packers yesterday, right? Like, there are weird and crazy things that happen all over the league each and every week. The Chiefs needed a win any way they could get it. Yes, we need to see them play better. There's no question about that. But more than anything Sunday, the Chiefs needed to win so that they're not 0-3 and facing a huge deficit in the face to the Chargers, for instance, where you're more like 3.5 games behind them in the AFC West. But they do get the win. I thought there were a lot of things to take away. We'll dig deep into this game as we make our way through the show. But we'll start there, TJ, on the surface, because we'll talk Wildcats in the next segment. Look, I thought one of the most encouraging things was that they were able to run the ball effectively and they stuck with it. That will help them sort of bridge the gap until they can get a little bit healthier. I am zero concerned about Travis Kelce and Andy Reid having you know, intense moments on the sidelines. I think both of those guys are wired that way, quite frankly. I think they both kind of like it. I think Mahomes looks pretty good, actually. And, you know, as they're piecing it together with the, you know, the pieces that they have, they look good. That was a Giants offense that scored 37 points on the Cowboys last week. Now, that's probably got more to do with the Cowboys than it does the Giants. But the Chiefs defense continues to look good, TJ. And if the Chiefs defense is this good, and it has been more or less for 3 weeks, I do think that's going to raise that floor a little bit for them. They just have to be better on offense. There are times where it looks bad out there offensively.
Yeah, you kind of said it right there, is that the defense is going to help them. I think the defense is right now is going to save them unless the offense figures it out. I mean, they give them that handicap. We've been talking about the Chiefs just are unable to score 30 points. So it's a good thing they have a really good defense, or we wouldn't be talking to them as a dynasty in these past couple of years. And, you know, wouldn't even be in the conversation. I mean, they'd be a 1-2 team and be written off if their defense wasn't doing what they were doing. So the biggest takeaway you can take from last night, I think, is the first half offensive woes. I think that figuring out eventually may have just been up against the Giants. I'm still not, like you said, not beating your chest about winning by that, taking down the Giants in the second half and looking like the Chiefs should have looked. I think the glaring thing was what was going on in the first half. I mean, like the two backwards passes, Mahomes having to force a fumble, like drops and silly PIs by the Giants bailing them out, and just a weird first half of offense.
It is. And the other thing is too, like, this is not going to be an offensive juggernaut at least until halfway through the season. Then I think it still could be, but not right now. And it's not going to be right now. However, a couple field goals turn into touchdowns. One field goal, even in the first half, is a touchdown instead. They missed a field goal. So you're looking at a game that could have been 25-9. You're looking at a game that could have been, you know, 30-9. Like, the Chiefs dominated the game. But the problem is, and this has been one of the big issues for them, even when they are in control, they're not able to just really rev it up offensively, whatever it is, whether it's the penalties on the offensive line, like all the little things, they just have a lot to sort through, and they have a lot of time to do it, but they don't have a lot of time. You know, the schedule is, I mean, it's impossible not to look at this schedule. Their schedule is brutal. I mean,
literally only one way up.
Yeah, I mean, you get Baltimore at Jacksonville and then Detroit. And look, they could win two of those three. We'll see what Detroit looks like on the road tonight. We'll get Monday Night Football. We'll get a little Monday Night Football talk later in the show. But I'm curious to see what Detroit looks like on the road. But those are three games you could lose. Two of them are in prime time, and one's against the Ravens. And then they'll finally start to get a little bit of relief as they get more healthy. Xavier Worthy practiced all week, didn't play. Not sure why that is. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. The only thing I can think of is, honestly, it's because they were playing the Giants and they're like, well, we hopefully won't need him. That was a little strange. That was a little strange. Now, Royals didn't have any targets or anything. Was he a scratch? I was driving back from Texas when an active list came back. Was he active?
Yeah, he wasn't listed on the inactive report, so he suited up, but I agree. I didn't write anything down about Jalen Royals. I never really saw anything from him.
Right.
Did he have a stat?
No, he didn't. He didn't get targeted, and I missed the inactive list because I was driving at that point, but it doesn't matter. He didn't do anything, so I don't expect a ton out of the rookie anyway. Tyquan Thornton looks fine. So I'm not even sure what role or anything Royals would play. They don't have. Was actually, now we can say former host of the show, Tommy Caster, has texted me and he was like, I mean, I don't think the receivers are going to fix this. And I was like, the only thing I can say about Worthy and Rice is they can turn a mountain out of a molehill and do something after the catch. Juju Smith-Schuster's ability right now after the catch is to fall forward. Like that's about how much gas he appears to have left in the tank. Rick says, and he's kind of with you there, TJ, they could have been behind at half if not for that lucky fumble or backwards pass number two. I totally agree. Yeah. I'm not downplaying how bad they look. They look terrible. I'm just trying to understand, like, what are their chances to get going at some point? Well, first you start with at some point this season, and then you go from there. But we'll get more into the Chiefs as we make our way through this Monday edition Up next, let's talk a little Wildcat football. We got Wyatt Thompson in for his weekly visit. What has he seen? What does he think? We'll get with it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, and we are glad to be here with you on this Monday. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, joined by Wyatt Thompson for a weekly visit. Wyatt, Was it a needed bye week? I think we all hoped it was a needed bye week. What's been the vibe there with the time off for the Cats here this week? And good morning. How are you?
That's a good question. Good to be on with you guys again. I think for the most part, everybody's probably going to say it was a good time for, I'll call it a reset, right? You get a little bit of time off, but also work on, you know, a multitude of things that frankly probably need work. I'm very anxious to hear Coach Klieman's press conference today at 12:30, just in terms of how the week went from his perspective, some of the things they worked on. Can we expect any change in personnel in different positions? I don't think there will be, you know, a ton of changes, but there may be a tweak or two. So, the bye week's behind us. Time to get going and get ready for UCF, who off to a 3-0 start. So here we go.
Well, you said it right there. UCF coming in. Scott Frost, obviously, back with the Knights. 3-0 start. They just kind of beat up on Bill Belichick. They were receiving votes in the last AP poll. So a 3-0 squad coming in, take on a 1-3 squad. I know you don't get into this side of it, but K-State is still favored in this game. That just shows the kind of level of respect that people expect K-State to turn this around. What's the vibe inside the program heading into this game?
Well, I do think that this has been a team that has gone through some things, TJ, that, you know, they've been a little bit down and frustrated, disgusted, mad, whatever you want to say. I think all of the above, probably. I don't think anyone would tell you that they've played to their capabilities, and that's quite frustrating. So how do you get there? Well, you just got to be better in so many different areas, and we've talked about them ad nauseum. Everybody knows what they are, right? K-State in the game against Arizona a couple of weeks ago, beaten at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They haven't been good on third down on either side of the ball. They've had ups and downs with the special teams. You know, that they just need a better push on the offensive line. So there's a ton out there. Why isn't Avery running more? There's a million and a half questions out there. Let's see what they do with a little bit of time off and a little bit of work on them prior to the work on UCF.
Well, you blew over the question there, I think, on a lot of people's mind. What is happening with Avery Johnson? He doesn't look like the same player right now. He has not done some of the things this year that have made him so special through his young career at K-State. It's interesting, too, because I think early on it was a lot of the blame to the coaches. Why aren't they running him more?
Right.
I got to tell you, in that last game, it looked like they were decisions he was making not to take off and run. So what is happening there?
Well, that is one that I get multiple times a day, as you can surmise, I'm sure. I don't know if I have the perfect answer for you here, but in visiting with Avery about it a few times and talking to the coaches have made no secret that they want to protect the kid, keep him upright for 12 games. And so I think that, you know, it's the biggest thing. Then you have the angle where, you know, teams are playing K-State differently, actually playing Avery differently than they have in the past. I think we saw that with the Arizona game. I just don't think they were going to let him do a whole heck of a lot. And then the reality of it is, too, is maybe it's been a little bit tougher for Avery without Jerron Bradley. He's suffered some drops with some guys. Maybe it is a little bit of confidence. So I think there's a lot on the table. Is Avery making all the decisions as to whether he runs or not? I don't think so. But I do think he has been hesitant without question. I'm sure you guys would certainly concur with that. But I think at some point, you know, we'll see. Again, I'll go back and say this. I'm anxious to see what coach says today, player reaction after that at 1 o'clock on, you know, what are we doing moving forward? Because as we know, K-State's 1-3, and the reality of it is the games are going to get tougher as we go. If you watch the games this weekend in the league, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a moment, the league is good. So you better get it strapped on. Let's go.
Yeah, Wyatt, you led right into that one. You know, whenever you go 1-3, whenever you have this kind of start to the season, you know, it turns into the doomsday thinking on social media and everything like that. And you know, the next five games, you have UCF, Baylor, TCU, KU, and Texas Tech, who all look like the pretty good football teams. You know, like how important is this bye week that they did turn something around so the bad doesn't get worse?
You have to do it. I mean, what's the alternative, right? I think there's a lot of things that I'm sure there were a lot of discussions with the coaches between themselves and as a staff. But also, I think it's been pretty apparent, too, that there's been a lot of conversation between what coach would describe as the captains and or the leadership council, or in this particular case, both, on, okay, for some of those guys that aren't playing to the level that they need to be playing, how do we get them there? And how do we get them there quickly? And then you just kind of work on the other things that need your attention. And by that, I mean playing cleaner football, right? I mean, that would help a lot too. Penalties, mistakes, that kind of stuff needs to be cleaned up some. And I don't know if you guys have paid a lot of attention to UCF. They were 3-0 a year ago and then lost 8 of 9. So who knows what they are for sure. But I do, in studying them, think they are better than they were a year ago for a couple of two or three different reasons. We'll see if it plays out that way. I think they will be a challenge for Kansas State this weekend. So you got to get the ship righted, and hopefully pretty quickly, because like you say, next week we go to Waco, and that's no day at the beach either.
Yeah, it really feels to me, Wyatt, and we can talk about the rest of the Big 12 in just a minute, because there are teams in there that look pretty dang good. Is K-State good? Is K-State just not playing good? Like, I still don't – I hope that we don't even know what K-State is yet, because if we do know what K-State is, it's going to be a really long season.
I think that's perfectly said. If I'm being honest, that's accurate and fair. I don't believe they are exactly the way they have played in a 1-3 start, but yet – if we can't seem to get some things turned, then you start to even wonder more, right? I mean, that makes sense to me. And I think through the issues that they've had, mistakes, injuries, all of those things matter. But you know, it starts up front. You win games at the line of scrimmage. And they've got to be better there. I can't stress that enough. I know a lot has been talked about with the offensive line, and they're not this and they're not that. I do think they're capable of playing better than they have, but will they, and can they, and will they, I guess is the questions. And I'm anxious to see what it looks like this week in practice and then on Saturday. But you're right. I mean, we're going to start wondering if you continue to lose games, right? I mean, that's the nature of the beast.
Why, there's something about, you know, putting radio microphones in people's faces that maybe make them a little bit more negative. I've grown to know you as a glass half full kind of guy. So is there a silver lining so far? You know, what can you take away from this that sees the light at the end of the tunnel, that it's not going to, you know, turn into a 1-11 year?
Well, here's what I would say to that, because I think it's a good and fair question. And I am a glass half full guy, as you know. You stated that absolutely correctly. I still go back to the very first game of the year. Iowa State's a good team, and K-State was right there with them in the fourth quarter. They didn't play well against North Dakota, found a way. They did not play well against Army, in particular in the second half. Offensively, they were really, really porous at Arizona. So what are we talking here, right? I mean, you got to be a realist, too, even if you're a glass half full guy. And, you know, at some point, I'm hoping to see some leadership step up and from the player side. I think Coach Klieman has been, if you're asking for what I'm looking for, I have a lot of respect for Coach Klieman and how long he has done this, how well he has done this. I think he's probably solved, you know, several problems like this before. And I'm hoping he can do it again. Does that mean, you know, being 1-3, can they win out? Can they win four games? Can they? I mean, you asked the question, but I don't think any of us really know where we're headed. That's why this is so intriguing.
Wyatt, we look at the Big 12 right now. Five teams got their 1-0 starts. Of course, Iowa State played it against K-State a long time ago, but we saw Tech, Houston, Arizona State, Kansas kind of make the opening salvo. None of the wins more impressive than Texas Tech. I was back home in Texas, and I have, I don't know, like four nieces and nephews right now going to Tech, where we've got some family connection to Barron, the quarterback who got hurt in the game, but they look good. They look good. We know Arizona State is probably going to be good. I know they have a loss. We assume Iowa State's going to be good. I don't think we know a ton about the league just yet, but the teams that we think are going to be good are looking pretty good at this point.
Yeah, that's a good summation, honestly. What I would add to that, though, I said this going into the game in Salt Lake on Saturday. For those of us who aren't sure what Texas Tech is, we know what their capabilities are in terms of they have great skill set, right?
They can play defense now all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. 3.8 yards per play, not per rush, but per play for Utah on Saturday. They just got stymied. Now, Utah's awfully good at the line of scrimmage, too. The difference in this game, from my perspective, was the ability to run and throw and have some balance that Tech had, and it was with their number two quarterback, who looked like a number one. I think that's the scary factor, too. But just from a physicality standpoint, just being honest, guys, if you can go to Salt Lake City and push that guy's team around, you are legitimate from my perspective. So if I were you, I'd look for Tech to continue this trek onward and upward. I think Arizona State won a monster game in Waco. I don't think they're going to get enough run for winning there because it's really hard. And they beat a good team and a good quarterback. They just find a way. Kenny Dillingham's 5-5 in his short career in Big 12 road games, man. They find a way. They run the ball. They throw the ball. They're good. I think you probably start with those two. And then after that, I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but there are several other teams that are right there. Kansas, you named them all, right? We'll see how it plays out.
That's the other part of this, Wyatt, is that you look at what the Big 12 was last year and how deep it was, which, you know, in turn, the winner of the conference might have four losses or something of that nature. You know, it's such a crazy conference. It's kind of looking like it's going to shape up that way. It's not super top heavy. So that's kind of the other silver lining of this is, you know, if you sputter at the start, but, you know, if you find a way to win the right games, you could still be there in Arlington.
Yeah, that's well said, too. And as you said that, you know what popped into my mind? One team we haven't even mentioned that just knocked around a pretty decent SMU team Saturday was TCU. Mm-hmm. Five touchdown passes for Josh Hoover. He's good. They're good. That's the thing. I think unlike last year, if I'm going to be honest here for a moment about the league, I think last year it was really even top to bottom. I do think now we may. I don't know yet. But we may see the very top of the league, maybe a couple of two or three teams. Maybe there'll be a little bit more separation than there was a year ago. Do you guys agree with that? I think it's possible.
Yeah, I it's hard. And then, like, Kansas is there. Kansas looked fantastic. Kansas has looked good. Kansas is probably going to be better than they were predicted. I do think there will be an unpredictability. I think all of it is relevant to this conversation because it all lends to hope, if we're looking for that after the way this season has started for K-State. K-State's played one Big 12 game. All of this being said, and it was a one-possession game, they've played one Big 12 game against Arizona State to open the season. And so now that, yeah, they're 0-1, but we don't – is the league – are there going to be juggernauts play their way through? Or does K-State still have a chance in this thing? And I know, like, throw a tomato at me for even suggesting that the way that they played right now. But that's – they're favored at home by 5.5 against UCF.
Yeah, I mean,
Vegas doesn't want to give up on them, clearly.
Yeah, and I don't know that anybody wants to give up on them. I think there's some consternation within the fan base, right? I mean, we all understand that. I mean, it's been disappointing – I'll be honest with you. I didn't see 1-3 coming in any way, shape, or form. No way, you know. And then you get even more deflated when you see North Texas beat Army at Army Saturday, right? But that's in the past. You can't change that, you know. I learned a lot of things from Bill Snyder, but one of them was you got to move on and put that stuff behind you and get better, right? And I think that's the thing now. Go do that. And if you do that, you give yourself a chance. The game of football, too, is also one of momentum, right? I'm sitting here, we're talking about this, and one thing that popped into my mind, I was talking about that tough loss for Baylor at home, but go look at their conference schedule. In the back half of their conference schedule, it's a pretty, I won't say it's a cakewalk, but it's not as hard as some, right? It's not like K-State going to Lawrence, going to Waco, going to Salt Lake City. So all of that matters, all of it.
Let me tell you guys, this Big 12 schedule is really messing with my head. I saw K-State's 0-1. I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. The Arizona game wasn't a conference game. Oh, they played one 5 weeks ago in week 0.
A lifetime
ago. This is a mess. It's a mess.
Well, fortunately, we're about by that. You know, when Arizona and K-State play from now forward, it actually will be a conference game, barring more movement in the world, which I think there are a lot of people that think that's still possible. And in the near future, whatever that means, is it in the next couple of years, next five, who knows? But if I were you, I would expect some because I think it's going to happen.
It is. Listen, It was a lifetime ago, but they're not. In fact, they're playing worse than they were, I think, against Arizona State. Why? We got a big one this weekend. They're back home. They had the bye week before the home game. It's an 11 a.m. kick. You guys will have all the coverage here on KFH, and we can't wait for it.
We're all anxious, aren't we?
Yeah. I can't wait for it as long as they play well. If they don't play well, I can wait. We don't need that in our lives. We need that stress relief. Boy, I just love to see them beat the brakes off of them. Just to reset everything. Reset, you used that word earlier. It would be perfect. Wyatt, we appreciate it. We'll tune in on the call, and we'll be back here one way or the other to talk about it next week. Same time, same place.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, home in Wildcat Athletics right here on KFH. Boy, what a weird year, man. What a weird year for K-State so far.
This is the definition, and we've talked about this a lot, is that teams get interesting the better they are and the worse they are. This to me feels like it's must-watch TV to see what do you do?
Yeah, is it there, right? Is it still there? And it should be. And we didn't even have a chance to talk about Dylan Edwards with the bye week and what the expectation or the rumblings are. We'll learn more about that, of course, today, because Chris Klieman will talk today. It's not everything's not, you know, because Dylan Edwards hasn't been playing. If that is the case, then that's a problem.
And Dylan Edwards is an awesome player if that's the case.
It's a happy Monday to you. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee. If anybody's dragging along like I am today, long weekend. My dad's 80th birthday in Texas. It was quite the bash. Got back in last night just in time to get the Chiefs game on and catch the game. So we're glad to be back here. We're glad to be rocking and rolling. We've got Monday Night Football tonight, by the way, on KFH. You can tune in. 6 o'clock coverage begins. Detroit on the road against the Ravens. Monday Night Football. We'll preview that game in the next hour. Let's talk Chiefs, though, now, TJ, as we get some extended time. KU talk coming. Jalen Thompson should be with us, we think, in the second hour. His travel schedule has been a little bit bouncy the last couple weeks, but we'll play that one by ear, our Royals insider. All right, Chiefs fans, what'd you think here? I can tell you, based on the rhetoric of both my text messages and social media and everything, that it was like full on panic mode here there for the first half. And then you look up, they go out, they have the really nice drive to open the second half. And all of a sudden you look at the end of the game and you're like, oh, well, they won by 13 points. Are we happy with the 13-point road win? I mean, we would be if you knew nothing else, if you knew nothing about the game, if you didn't watch it for a second, if you didn't look at the stat sheet, TJ, and I told you, hey, you know, the 0-2 Chiefs, they got a 13-point win against the Giants. You'd be like, oh, well, dang, that's nice. Good job. Right?
Yeah. Done, I would.
Doesn't quite feel that way, though.
If you don't tell me any of the scores, if it was like a, you know, 33-20 or something, feel a little better, something like that.
I don't know if I would feel better about that. Let's go on a little adventure here. There's no doubt the offense is struggling. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is playing really well for a variety of reasons. And I think last night we saw them establish and maintain the run game, which is really, really important for them. But the offense is not playing well. But the defense is playing well. And I'll tell you that the offense is not playing at the level I thought they would before the season. Hopefully that's strictly they're missing some guys thing. But I'll also tell you the defense is quite a bit better than what I thought they would be thus far. I mean, the Giants had no chance offensively last night. None. Zero. Like, they were toast in that game. They couldn't do anything. And while I want to make fun of the Giants and Russell Wilson's not that good anymore, they scored 37 points on the Cowboys, which, again, that's probably more of a Cowboys issue, but they're capable and they have some weapons. And the Chiefs did a good job against them. So I don't want to do two things here. I don't want to overreact to them beating the Giants on the road, because that's not that big a deal. I think the Giants might be the worst team in football right now. However, I don't want to underreact to the fact that they won by 13 on the road at a place they've never won, and they got it done in a way that fit the margin just fine.
They did, but I mean, I even go back to, like, on the surface level, you have your point. 13 points on the road is a big deal, but I think that just watching it, like, I don't even know if the Chiefs were happy, like, with the way that they, you know, the way it played out, everything like that. Like, what we talked about earlier that Rick chimed in on, I mean, that fumble that Mahomes forced, that was 5 yards away from being a touchdown, and that 13-point win is now a 6-point win, and then you think about everything else that went wrong. Yeah, true. Everything else that kind of went wrong and just kind of fell that way. So, like, it wasn't comfortable, like, until the final 5 minutes, maybe, like, final 10 minutes of game time. And it kind of was just like that. I don't know. It's such a tale of two halves. That second half was just such a different half than the first half. I don't know if that was the Giants getting worse on offense or the Chiefs making adjustments to be better on their offense. And I don't even know what to take away from that game. Like, I still don't feel good about it.
I don't know. I don't feel good about it, but I think that's the point. It didn't feel good, but they won by 13 on the road, and they're not a great team right now. So a not great team. And again, like, I'm not trying to make light of the Chiefs' start to this season. I'm trying to get a grasp of what I think could happen later in this Chiefs season. They lost to the Chargers by 6. They lost to the Eagles by 3. They very easily could have beaten the Eagles. And then they go win on the road by 13 against the Giants. They're probably not going to beat the Ravens. And then we'll see what happens at Jacksonville and Detroit. But I think I'm just trying to get a gauge of what it will look like when the weather gets cold. Their record won't probably be very good. Like, I don't know that there's a path I can see for them to have a real tidy record going into the month of November. But that doesn't really matter. Like, I don't know about you. Like, I've washed my hands of this idea they could be more than a, you know, 3-7 seed. I don't think they're going to have a better record than Buffalo or Baltimore. I'm not even totally convinced they're going to win the AFC West. So if you consider all those things, what does it really matter? Like, are they going to be a chip in a chair team this year that by the time the playoffs start, they're healthy and nobody wants to play them? Or how much better are they going to get than what they are right now? That I think is the only question that matters for the next 4 weeks. How much better do we think this team's going to be? I still happen to think it'll be quite a bit better. I think those weapons will help them. And again, to my original point, for me, mostly it's because the defense is better than I thought it would be thus far.
Yeah. You know, just thinking about that idea, you know, it's wild to think about the Chiefs, like, in the contention for a 3 seed, in contention to not win the AFC West with the way that the Chargers are
starting. For a 7 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's possible.
Yeah. I don't know a path where they win the AFC West at this point. Like, you think about the Chargers are 3-0 against 3 AFC West teams. So it's just a crazy start to the season that it ended up that way. So yeah, I mean, that, I think that's what's driving the most panic. I think that if it was any other franchise that didn't have 9 straight division titles, I think that's the thing that's driving this the most. Like, people obviously want a 1 seed and everything like that, but I think it's the fact of, like, I don't know how we're going to win the AFC West. I don't know how the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make this look better when their guys come back to find a way to claw back in that division. And it's a little bit of that, and it's a little bit of what we talked about with K-State, you know, is the Dylan Edwards thing. It's like, well, I can't imagine this is all Dylan Edwards. I can't imagine this is all Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. So
it's – I can't either. I just, like, what does it matter, right? Is this a team – because, like, it doesn't matter where they put – they showed us 2 years ago they can go on the road and win. I just don't think it matters too much. You just got to tell me they're going to get there. And by the way, the Chargers are charging and all their players are getting hurt, which is what they do every single year. I don't know how bad Rashawn Slater was hurt, but they're already down linemen. Like, Slater's been out. They're Najee Harris looks like he's going to be out for a while. We saw them lose players last week, significant in Khalil Mack. Like, they're, I think the Chargers are really good too, but, like, what are the chances they're able to hold on? I mean, it's all very close. It was a game-winning field goal yesterday against the Broncos. I don't think the Chargers are going 17-0, But I also think the Chiefs are probably looking at 6, maybe 7 losses, and it does, and I don't care about that really. Like, I don't. Maybe they don't win the AFC West. Okay, they've shown us they can go on the road and win playoff games. They did a couple years ago and won a Super Bowl. Is this team capable of doing that if they can get there? I think that's the only thing that matters. And there are concerns for sure. I get it. Travis Kelce, last night with Andy Reid, do you care about that at all? I don't. And people are trying to make a big deal of it. But like, to me, that's the way Kelce's always been wired. Like, he's fired up. And Andy Reid is an old football player. Like, he's an old jock, like a shoulder check, like. And Andy Reid was asked about it in the game on the sideline. He's like, no, man, sometimes we need that juice. Like, let's go. Like, that's a good thing. So I lean to that. Like, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Yeah. Well, last night I was making the Sports Sunday show that we do, and I was trying to get all the video and all the talking points and everything. And I put it in the show, and then I like started to go write the script of it. And I was like, it was like at halftime I started doing it. And I was like, I mean, Travis Kelce's got 4 catches for 20 yards at this. Like, he's not playing bad. Like, he's not. Making
he's,
a draw.
He's not playing all the snaps.
Yeah.
He's not playing all the snaps. He is off the field a lot. And I know they're trying, that's very intentional on their part. And that's probably what's annoying him, but they're doing it because they think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's a lot of criticism of Travis Kelce online and everything like that. Obviously, he had the drop in the end zone last week, which ended up turning into an interception that, you know, could have been a game and everything like that. But outside of that, like, he's not playing at the all pro level that Travis Kelce is. But I mean, he's a, like, in terms of fantasy football, because that's the way my brain thinks. Like, I mean, he's still the top half tight end in the league, probably. Like, he's serviceable. The problem is that he's just been the number one for this Chiefs offense for so long, and now there really isn't a number one on the field. Evidently, it's Tyquan Thornton.
But Tyquan Thornton looks pretty good. I'll be honest. He was that non-touchdown catch.
That was better than the
really tough break. Yeah. I mean, he had made a great play and then an even better play on it. Tyquan Thornton fits even when they're healthy. I don't know how he and Hollywood and Rashi Rice and Xavier Worthy all fit together, but Tyquan Thornton's got a long-term role on this team. I don't think there'll be anybody better at any point this year on the deep ball than Thornton is right now. Like, that's a thing for them. Like, that's a big thing for them. I'm glad they have him. I'm glad they have him, because that part of their game right now feels so critical when everything else is slogging along. But the run game did not. What did you think of the run game last night? The run game was good. Pacheco and Hunt, both, especially Pacheco, ran the ball pretty well. They were working in Breshard Smith for the first time. They didn't even have. I know Patrick Mahomes had one big long one called back. But if you can give me 22 carries from the running backs – like that and you know, get the kind of yardage they did, I'm in for that. I think that's going to help them get through this tough stretch for sure.
Yeah, I think that the thing is the biggest part of it, because, you know, you watch that game and the running back room isn't any, you don't take anything away from, especially I think it's because Cam Skattebo, who was on the other side, who played out of his mind last night. He's so good. But watching that Chiefs running back room, I mean, like, you see, right? Like, Pacheco averaged 4.5. Kareem Hunt averaged 3.4. Breshard Smith had 2 carries for 13 yards. So it's nothing crazy, but I think it's more so the fact that the Chiefs didn't give up on it, as you brought up earlier in the show, which they've done. I mean, we've seen games where they've ran the ball single-digit times. Like, running the ball 22 times whenever you don't have your wide receivers is what you're supposed to do. And Isaiah Pacheco in the first half did not look good. Like, he frankly looked like he kind of sucked in the backfield a little bit. So not giving up on that. I think Kareem Hunt needs to play in a role similar to what he had last night. It's not going to be a Isaiah Pacheco bell cow type of offense that some people thought it was going to be when he came back. He's not the same Isaiah Pacheco that he was before he broke his leg. So you have to find the mix that works. Obviously, Kareem Hunt, what he did last year is probably not going to be repeated as he gets a year older as well. So, but that's the biggest thing. As you said, just don't give up on the run. You know, I'd be enamored if they'd go get another running back somehow, but I don't think it's going to happen midseason. But if you could give me 20 carries per game from running back room and Andy Reid offense, I'd take it.
They don't need a running back if that's going to be their run game last night. They don't need one. I mean, they don't need anything to add to that. That was fine. I mean, it was fine. You're not going to ask for more than that. Now, are they explosive enough? I suppose not. But what do people think they're going to go do? Get Kamara and give it to him 25 times a game? They're not going to change their offense. So I was very encouraged by the run game. I'm not overly encouraged by the way the Chiefs played last night, but they won by 13 points on the road. So I don't want to just gloss over that aspect of the game either. More in the second hour. KU talk, maybe a little Royals talk. It's all coming for you. It's all Mark and Cleveland. Stick around.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another hour of Sports Daily here on KFH Radio. TJ Cleland in with you. Jacob Albrecht as well will join us here momentarily. We talked a little Chiefs football. We talked a little K-State football with voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. So let's keep going with some Big 12 talk. Jacob, KU, they looked really, really good on Saturday. 12.5-point favorites over West Virginia. They ended up winning by 31, 41-10 winners in that one. About everybody touched the ball on the offense. What was your takeaway from a big KU win in their Big 12 opener?
Well, the fact that they just looked really, really impressive. I think, it, like, as we're getting an early taste of things in the Big 12, for KU to come out, look better, I think, than anybody probably expected to get things going, and then to come out and put 41-10 on anybody in the conference, I mean, how does that not make you feel good if you're a KU fan? LaShawn Williams was really good in the game. Jalen Daniels continues. Look, this was not Jalen Daniels' best game. He completed 50% of his passes, right? That wasn't the best Jalen Daniels game we've seen even this year. And they won by 31 points. I don't know what to make of West Virginia, and that'll be the challenge, right? Like, how good is West Virginia? What are they? They're, you know, I don't know. But they won by 31 points to open Big 12 play. They play Cincinnati. They get another home game this week. I think that things, like, if you're a KU fan right now, how could you not be incredibly excited about what you've seen so far? I mean, I guess they could have beat Missouri, sure, and be unbeaten, but that wouldn't have been any. That's not a realistic expectation for this team this year. So how could you be any more excited if you're a KU fan than what you're seeing? Jalen Daniels looks good. They're beating people. I mean, that's a 31-point win in the Big 12 is never bad. Like, it's always good. And they look, right now, they look good.
This feels like what it should have been like last year, basically, is the thing that I keep Absolutely. Bringing up. Is that last year's team was probably better on paper. We think we really still don't know how good this KU team is. It seems like they're really good. But with the pieces that they brought back and all the returners they had last year, it should have looked like this. And this is what you should expect. So I think that the expectations are going to raise the more they do this. You know, they're still not receiving any votes in the AP poll. So as they keep going through this Big 12, that may be something that they would get there as well. But 1-0 in the Big 12, a 31-point win, only one loss on your schedule, and it was to an SEC team that you were, I mean, basically beating for, what, 45 minutes of game time or something like that? They were beating over the entire game almost. So you feel great about it. And like you said, Jalen Daniels only 138 yards last night, but it was a run-heavy game. You know, they took away the pass, and that's what West Virginia committed to. And then, you know, LeSean Williams had 129 yards and a touchdown. It wasn't even Daniel Hyshaw that was the bell cow of the offense last night. So Daniel Hyshaw only had two carries on Saturday. I'm not sure what happened about that. I didn't see that part of it. But, yeah, LeSean Williams, great game for him. You feel good about the offense. You feel good about everything.
Well, you feel good that they look – you feel good that they've looked good. It could be worse. It could be last year where they could be losing games they should win. They could just flat not look good, but they look as good as anybody could have expected. They are good offensively. They look like they might be pretty good defensively. We'll see on that, because the Missouri game, they didn't shut them down, but they've been a more or less a pretty good defensive team. And they continue to play well, and they're going to be tested probably against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, not a juggernaut, you'd say, this year, but Cincinnati's also looked pretty good out of the gates, and it's going to be tough. They have they played the Arrowhead game against Nebraska. They lost that by 3. They have a bye week, had a bye week last week before they come into Kansas, but after the Nebraska game, they had 2 cupcakes. So, I shouldn't call Bowling Green a cupcake. Full disclosure, I don't know anything about Bowling Green this year. But they beat them by 2 touchdowns, and then beat Northwestern like 70-0, I think. So we'll find out again. Hyshaw is going to be in and out probably, but if he's not going to be available all the time, it's nice to know that, you know, LeSean Williams can give you what he gave you, which is a run attack. Now, how effective was it? Because if you take away a 62-yard run, you're looking at 18 carries for 60 yards. I'm not convinced this is going to be a great run team this year. If they can leave the explosion like that in the lineup, that's fine. But it was a really interesting game because there was a few big plays. But Jalen Daniels is the straw that stirs the drink. We all know that. And Jalen Daniels has looked really good. Jalen Daniels looks like he looked, has looked over the years when he's been at his best. He's efficient. He's dynamic. He can run when he needs to run. Like, it's all there for him. And he looks good, I think, right now. And if he looks good, and Leipold is the coach of this team, they're going to be very pesky. They're going to be very pesky as they make their way through. So I am pretty bullish on KU football. I think they can absolutely be a top half team. I think they could even be more than that. And time will tell as we just get it going in the Big 12, TJ. But I'd be stunned if every KU fan on the planet wasn't like, yeah, I'm good with this start. I'm good with this.
Yeah. I think the other part of it too, as you see Austin Crutcher joining in here, what do you say? Good enough to compete for a Big 12 title. You know, what we were talking about with the K-State team is their schedule. They've got a gauntlet of a schedule for these next 5 weeks. You know, KU, turns out they're going to get Cincinnati, UCF. They'll get Oklahoma State right there in the middle. They'll finish up with Utah, who, you know, what's Utah going to be? What's Arizona going to be? You think about what they're able to do here. I'm pretty bullish about what this stretch could look like for them. I think that they can beat Cincinnati. I think they can beat UCF. I think they're can beat Oklahoma State, Arizona. You know, you could be looking at a team that may end up with what's a realistic loss total for them in the Big 12. What do you think?
Oh, God.
I mean, you got Texas Tech on the schedule.
I think anything right now is on the table in the Big 12, honestly. I'm not yet going to say, oh, yeah, they'll beat K-State in a rivalry game. Arizona, Iowa State, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they could still have 4 or 5 losses. Now, I'm not saying I think that will happen, but I think it could happen for sure. I mean, it's still too early, but again, from what we've seen thus far, I don't know how you could be any more excited because there were a lot of questions about KU. They turned over everything except for Jalen Daniels, as far as like starting roles in the offense and all these things. Like, it was a fresh start, man. We didn't know. People would ask about KU, and you're like, I don't know. I really have no idea. Like, they still have Jalen Daniels. If he looks like he did in the second half last year, Leipold's a great coach. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, they should be okay. But we didn't have any realistic expectation for them, and I think they've exceeded, at least for me, and I don't, like, they have definitely exceeded what I thought that they would do. But they get back in action. We'll have more on that. Shreyas Lada will join us on Wednesday to start to preview that game against Cincinnati. But we're looking forward to it. Hey, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We've got all kinds of fun stuff here coming for you. We have Joshua Briscoe, the Chiefs Radio Network, is going to join us for a Monday visit as well. Go back and get his take on the Chiefs last night in Sunday Night Football. I'm sure he'll be groggy like us, staying up late to watch the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll have that. Jalen Thompson should join us as the, you know, the Royals are out of it now officially. Have they been? Did they officially get eliminated yet?
There's no E next to their name. It's not over. Okay. 6.5 back with 6 to go.
6.5 back with 6 to go. They need everybody to lose every game, and they've got to win them all. But here's the reality with the Royals. TJ, is they're at 500. You want to be above 500. Above 500, if you can get to 80 wins, like, those will all be things that, you know, that kind of feel good a little bit if you're the Royals. So if Jalen Thompson's travel schedule, because they're bouncing around a little bit, accommodates, we should have him. But we'll have Josh Briscoe in on the next segment. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. Text the keyword T to 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea at either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. So good luck there. You can win a free tea and try the new all new caramel apple tea. Again, that's T-E-A to 20357. Want to say thank you to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. Never a better time to go play golf. I am going to do my very best to get out there and play golf this year. Better hit them in the fairways, though. This is the time of year, TJ, where when you're golfing, you get to hunt balls with the fallen leaves. Better hit it in the fairway this time of year. But give Crestview a call. Never a bad time to join up there. Heck, maybe they've got some good deals going here as we're getting into the cold season. But give them a call. We appreciate their support of the program. Man, Mondays are nuts, man. Mondays are so crazy. It's just like everything's, you're trying to catch up. You're trying to get off to a good start. Sunday night football doesn't help. Like when it just runs you right through. But how much would this Monday suck if the Chiefs didn't do what they needed to do last night?
Man, I mean, honestly, the Chiefs get Sunday night football, 3 o'clock window, Monday night football, Sunday night football.
They're not making it easy on any of us. Like, and we know they don't normally get noon kicks, but the primetime games, like, come on, we wake up early for the show. Give me a little help. Josh Briscoe's with us next. Stick around. We got Sports Daily. Come your way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And joining us now, Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs Radio Network. It was a late evening. Josh last night, you guys on the network, even later, probably than most of us, but it was a win. And listen, was it pretty? No, but it was a 13-point road win in the NFL. And the Chiefs had to have one any way they could. I don't care if it's a 1-point road win. So two different things can be true, right? You'll take a 13-point road win in the NFL anytime. And the Chiefs probably still didn't look like we're going to need them to look if they're going to be a major threat this year for a Super Bowl.
I feel like we have something in common right now with the Chiefs last night, as we here have taken multiple weeks to hopefully have my audio and video coming through to you guys in an acceptable fashion. Fantastic. That's great news.
Acceptable is what we're
for now.
That's it. That's all we need.
That's what we saw last night. Losing that game would have been unacceptable in a way that would have put the remainder of the season in legitimate doubt. Like, I really kind of played back and forth the idea, like, can a week three game be a must-win game? And like, well, not in the legal sense, right? Like, until you're in January, it's probably not literally a must-win game. But how do you dig out of the hole that 0-3 with a loss to the Giants would have put you in? So, yeah, I mean, I think a bunch of the questions that you have about the Chiefs that you had on Saturday, you should have on Monday. But ultimately, it feels so much better to be talking about them at least handling their business against the Giants. I don't think we saw a new team yesterday, but we saw a team good enough to beat a bad Giants team, and that's enough to keep your head above water while you just keep counting the days till Rashee Rice comes back, and then you hope he comes back and has an outrageous contribution to this team.
Yeah, Josh, that's what we were talking about earlier, is that you obviously are missing Rashee Rice, you're missing Xavier Worthy right now, but then you think back to what we saw in the first half last night. I mean, they threw two backwards passes, like Mahomes had to force a fumble. They got bailed out by a PI call. There was drop. Like, how much can those guys help if that's what's going on with the offense? And what is going on with the offense that we saw in the first half last night?
It's a good question. It was kind of jarring. He's right, but it was kind of jarring to hear Andy Reid just say, yeah, it was hard to watch that second quarter. It's like, oh, yeah, I agree. I just wasn't going to say it that way because it was. That Mahomes play that you mentioned, outrageous. It's kind of the Josh Simmons tackle of this week, where you just go, man, like, what an absolute, like, incredible performance, football IQ, all of that, that, you know, Mahomes just has to be Superman sometimes. But I do think it's a good question where you say, hey, if you've got these, like, fundamental issues that are derailing the team on a regular basis, does two, you know, much improved wide receivers really change the gravity that much? And I do still think it will, because it completely changes how defenses are going to approach this offense. So I remain optimistic about what they can bring, but like, look, I haven't seen the play chart, right? Like, I wasn't in the meeting rooms this week or anything, but I can't imagine that Isaiah Pacheco is supposed to run backwards and then turn towards the opposing end zone, right? So like, I'm just assuming that Patrick Mahomes didn't make that mistake and that was an Isaiah Pacheco problem. That kind of thing can't keep happening. But I mean, also, I think for years now, we've kind of heard a pretty recurring theme of like, yeah, we got to clean up some things, we got to be better. I do think Andy Reid has had maybe a little bit more aggressive energy, if that makes any sense, not just the Kelsey thing on the sideline. But it feels like Andy Reid is also frustrated by how things are going in a way that's kind of getting to the surface a little bit this early in the season. And I got to be honest, I kind of like it, not how it's going, how Andy Reid is responding to it, because everybody's looking around like, hey, this is probably the last ride with Travis Kelsey. This is a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. The standard is higher than what we've seen through 3 weeks. And I think the Chiefs know that.
I that Andy Reid, Travis Kelsey thing, I don't know why this one's getting more run than they have. Like, to me, that's Kelsey's personality. He wants to play more snaps. They don't want him to play more snaps. But to see him get fired up, I mean, Andy Reid gave him a shoulder check, and they asked him during the game, and he said, we need that juice. Like, he's an old jock. Like, Andy Reid's an old football player at the end of the day. I know we think of him as this big teddy bear with a cool mustache and Hawaiian shirts and all the fun that's an old football player, man. Like, yeah, he wants. And I do think a part of it is Kelsey trying to fire everybody up. He's probably trying to fire Andy Reid up. I think that's a nothing burger. I don't care about it at all. Their usage of Kelsey is a conversation to have, and everything else is fine to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you've seen it enough, you understand that this isn't like some big weird sideline blow up. This is relatively standard. I think to kind of what you mentioned there, I do think it's noteworthy, again, that it's happening in week three against the Giants, and then it's happening after an 0-2 start. So I think there are interesting elements about it, as opposed to when it happens in the Super Bowl and, you know, all's well after the fact, but you know how, you know where the tempers are rising to. Ultimately leaving, you know, the little sideline spat, and that's probably overstating it too, that bump and that shouting on the sideline last night, it jumps off the screen, especially because I think it's a great point by you on Andy Reid being an old jock, but there's always this, man, this is years ago. I completely forgot about this till this second. Years ago, we talked on the radio show about this like spectrum of football coaches from it was basically like jock to wizard. And where does Andy Reid go? And we have a really hard time putting Andy Reid on that because he didn't, especially back then, he wasn't very aggressive on fourth downs. Like he obviously throws the ball a ton, but it wasn't super aggressive. That line has moved back and forth over the years, but I like that framing because you have to bring that level of energy and intensity. I mean, especially when you talk about the little mental mistakes and things like that, it feels like a lack of not just attention to detail, but you know how it goes. You've done enough radio over the years to have a segment where you get to the end of the segment and you go, what did I just talk about? What did I say? I was in autopilot. Can someone please let me, like, what is the podcast of this hour going to be about? Because I just blacked out. Like you can't really go into cruise control as a pro football team because every other team in the NFL is also trying. So, I think it's a nothing burger in terms of anything like that's a terrible sign or that is weird. That it's none of that. I think it's interesting. And again, on some level, I think I kind of like it because they talked about it. And Andy mentioned this post game too, that week one, they didn't have enough energy. And Andy doesn't really, he doesn't bring up two games ago energy levels. That felt out of character for me. So again, I think that he's intentionally sending a message that way.
Yeah. Josh, back to this offense, obviously without the two big wide receivers, Andy Reid does not like to hand the ball off. We saw that plenty last year. I mean, there was games where they were running the ball five times, basically. Isaiah Pacheco kind of left some to be desired in the first half. You talked about him turning the wrong way and running towards the other end zone for some reason on that passing play. But specifically thinking about handoffs here, him, Kareem Hunt, do you like what you saw from that running back room? Is that what you'd like to see more of going forward? 22 handoffs last night. Felt like they were trying to be more intentional.
Yeah, I'll say I liked it better than what we have seen, right? I mean, because I think it's pretty universally known and accepted. I don't think it's very controversial to say Patrick Mahomes should not be this team's leading rusher every week. And he wasn't yesterday. Huzzah! So I think, again, a couple of the little blips where you're like, man, like, is Isaiah Pacheco going to straight up just get benched the rest of this game? And he didn't. They went back to him, which is also a very Andy Reid thing to do. And that was a home game for Pacheco. I think he said he had like 50 tickets he needed for friends and family from New Jersey, went to Rutgers and all of that. And then Andy shouted him out postgame, saying he was happy for him in that circumstance with all of his friends and family there. So I think it was, first of all, great to see Pacheco rebound a little bit after some mistakes. Kareem Hunt, I started laughing at some point, you know, going through, keeping track of everything during the game. This might be an exaggeration, but I think it was Kareem Hunt's like fifth carry that went for exactly 3 yards. And it was, and Mitch on the broadcast, I think it was, there was one that was 3rd and 2. It went 3rd and 2, Kareem Hunt, and 3 yards. And I looked to my producer, Nick Springer, the Kareem Hunt experience. You need 3, I'll get you 2. You need 2, I'll get you 3. You need 3, I'll get you 3. You need 4, I'll get you 3. That's useful, right? Like, I think Kareem Hunt has a real spot in this offense. I would like to see more Breshad Smith. I thought it was interesting to see him get involved in the jet sweep game. He got one actual touch in that. And then the next play, I believe he ran the motion away from where the play ended up being. So keep moving the sliders up and up and up on Breshad Smith. And just by the amount of explosion he has, I'd like to probably see Kareem Hunt's workload decrease more into the short yardage kind of specialist role. There's a lot of room for growth in that running back room. I guess we're not going to see Elijah Mitchell. He was inactive again yesterday. So I have higher hopes than what we saw yesterday, but it was a step in the right direction compared to the first 2 weeks.
The only Kareem Hunt is a pass blocker, but maybe less than they did a year ago. With you. That will help. But it was interesting, and you were obviously on the radio call. On the television call, they brought up Breshad Smith, and it was either Tirico or Collinsworth, I can't remember which, was talking about how much a scat back could help this offense. But then they said in team meetings, Andy Reid was like, he's not getting the ball a lot. Like, he's too small. So, I mean, he's openly admitting his role, but I do think like if the offensive line is better, then yeah, you don't have to park Kareem Hunt back there to make sure you have an extra pass blocker. And maybe Breshard Smith can be an extra weapon in the offense. Jalen Royals, we thought maybe practice, nothing. Like he was not out there. And then of course, Worthy we know was inactive, but are those two going to be able to provide much juice? And I know it's impossible to predict with Worthy because we don't know how limited he'll be with his shoulder. Yeah. But until Rice, so three more games now, do those two guys add anything? I think that they do. I think Worthy does. But I'm not 100% sure.
I think Worthy has to. It does spook me out a little bit that he was – questionable on Friday and then ruled not traveling on Saturday. And maybe that's a little gamesmanship and he practiced, but again, how effective can he be dealing with a shoulder brace or however he's going to manage that? So I think Worthy does by simply being on the field, at least for a little while. If Xavier Worthy is on the field running away from your defense, you have to respect that. You have no choice as a defense, but to respect the fact that the fastest man in the NFL is running away from you. So again, from like a gravitational perspective, I do think that matters. Is Xavier Worthy going to be able to make the catches that, well, I guess at least the one catch that Tyquan Thornton brought in last night? I don't know, because you're going to the ground, taking contact, rolling with the defender. Like I have to imagine the Chiefs aren't going to put him in a bad spot to where they think that there is a huge chance of re-injury. This is a contact sport. And Xavier Worthy was hurt on friendly fire. I mean, so there's no way to play football injury-free, risk-free. That's an impossibility. So I worry a little bit just about when he clears that bar to be fully available. But I still think when he's on the field, and if he can stay on the field, he's going to matter. I'm holding out hope for Breshard Smith. I think it might just be a little bit deeper into the season. And that's I thought we might see something from Jalen Royals. Like you said, just nothing there in his official NFL debut, technically. I don't know if he got a special team snap or something. I didn't see him on the field. I saw him on the sidelines. I did not see him on the field. I hope that Smith gets more involved that way. The size thing is interesting, but it fills such a need. And then again, back to Royals. I felt a little silly yesterday in the pregame show making him my like rookie spotlight guy to watch or whatever, because I knew this fact, which is that halfway through the season is when rookie wide receivers in Andy Reid's offense start to get a little more, it seems. Rashee Rice was on that track, Xavier Worthy was on that track, and both of those guys are kind of rushed into it in there for their own respective reasons in each of those last 2 years. I think if Jalen Royals is, frankly, if he's involved in the passing game by like week 10, that's probably worthwhile. That's probably a success story. And then really he ends up being a guy who, and I'm in next offseason already, but maybe he's a guy that lets you, you know, let Juju Smith-Schuster walk or not be so stressed if Juju misses some games next year, or lets Hollywood walk, and it kind of gives you that future flexibility. But yeah, my expectations for Royals have lowered a little bit, just not being available throughout so much of what they've done so far. I just think his development cycle is going to take a little bit. I stay relatively high on Breshard Smith, and I have no choice but to be optimistic about Xavier Worthy, because this exact offense that we saw tonight just doesn't have enough teeth to be a legitimate threat to most good NFL teams.
You watched that game last night and you kind of think like, man, that was pretty ugly. And then all of a sudden, Tyquan Thornton was like, whoa, this guy, maybe he's what he's supposed to be. You know, everybody talked about him for the entire months of July and August, and then we didn't see anything for 2 weeks. Do you expect this to be what Tyquan Thornton's going to be able to do for this team? And what role does he live in when you get those two guys back?
I kind of think it's real. I think it's interesting to see how he and Xavier Worthy can coexist together. Because I think if you do have the ability to stretch the field in two different ways, I think we saw this a little bit in the preseason. We obviously didn't see it in week one. So I think it must have been one of the preseason games. I can't remember who it was against. But Worthy and Thornton were both going vertical, and it was a single high safety, and the safety has to choose. Do I go with this speedster or that speedster? The other guy gets one-on-one coverage with no safety help. Patrick Mahomes can then pick his poison for the opposing defense and find either of those guys. Not only do I think Thornton stays in the mix when Worthy and Rice are back, I think in a lot of ways he becomes maybe less vital, but potentially more of a threat, because you are compounding what you can do offensively. I think to this point, Tyquan Thornton has a little bit of Marquez Valdez-Scantling and a little bit of Justin Watson. And I know that neither of those guys are Tyreek Hill or Rishi Rice or whatever. They played a ton of snaps for this football team. A ton. Something that I mentioned to Mitch Holthus in postgame last night that I also was really impressed by for Thornton. He seems like he's able at this point to be a guy who is just running cardio for 40 minutes and then suddenly is getting one, two, three targets in a relatively short period of time. A red zone target, a deep shot that falls just short, and then a deep shot that results in one of the most hilarious screen caps of this season so far. I really think you need guys who can make plays who aren't your superstars, and Tyquan Thornton is one of those guys.
He's making them more often than, like, the misses have been on Mahomes. That first catch, like, that's unlucky. You know, the ball hits that way. He's a threat. We go all this time, and we've got just like a minute and a half here, Josh. The defense feels realer than I thought they would. Good defense, an effective run game does raise the floor while the Chiefs offense gets it figured out.
Hugely. And what a test next week against the Ravens. But the defense has passed with relatively flying colors against the Eagles and Giants here. Week one was miscommunication. It was messy. It was all over the place. Eagles game, you have a ton of talent, man. They really held up. They just needed more from the offense. Malik Nabers was a non-factor yesterday. Wandale Robinson, who went off against the Cowboys, minimal factor. Russell Wilson might get benched after this game. Remarkably impressed by the Chiefs secondary. I thought they did a fantastic job. I still need more from the four-man pass rush. Still need more from a George Karloftis, Charles Aminihou. Obviously, Mike Dana was out. Christian Fulton was out, and the secondary was still that good last night. So, hugely impressed by the Chiefs defense. Room for growth from the pass rush, but the secondary has really washed away what happened in week one.
We've got it coming. It's the 3:25 kick. Ravens game of the week should be a blast. Josh will have you covered on the Chiefs Radio Network pre and post game. Of course, you'll hear it all right here on our Odyssey family of networks. Josh, appreciate it. Hey, much better to have a win than a loss. Let's start there.
The Chiefs needed a win for me to fix my internet connection with you guys. I don't know. Two birds, one stone.
The perfect connection, a Chiefs win. We're on track. Just took us 3 weeks to get there. Josh, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Man, it feels so much better. TJ to have God, that first half, I'm like, like, you guys are giving me a hard time because I gave you guys such a hard time about how bad the Giants are on Friday. We got there.
I made the point last night. Could you imagine waking up this morning and turning on some national sports heads that the Chiefs are 0-3?
No, I can't imagine a lot of things. I wasn't prepared for that. I'm not prepared for that and what we've seen out of K-State. We're not even through September. I know fall officially starts today, but, like, guys, we're not even in the groove yet. Like, we're not even in the groove. We can't do this.
Between K-State and the Chiefs, I've been pretty, honestly, since I've started covering these teams regularly, like, I've been pretty blessed that everybody's been pretty good, except for maybe, like, KU football for the beginning of last season. This has really tested me to be like, this is what it's like to watch other football teams.
Wait till you get the Shocker basketball team back on track. It's pretty awesome.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
We are joined now by Jalen Thompson, KC star, Royals reporter, our Royals insider. Jalen, they're not going to make the playoffs. It was a pipe dream there down the stretch. But they can still end with a game, with a record that gets them, you know, kind of well over 500. They're at 500 now. They haven't had enough. It's kind of fallen apart at the seams. Everybody's getting hurt right now. But we've got another week to go here against some soft teams. It'll feel good to, you know, kind of end strong, I think, for the Royals. And then we look forward to the offseason. But, you know, as we look to the final week of the season, how are things going? How are you this morning, too, buddy?
I'm doing good, you know. Season's almost done, right? So really excited about just being able to finish out the string on a high note. I think the Royals are as well. But I would push back on saying that they have some soft opponents because they got to play the Angels and they have to play the Athletics, and they lost 5 out of 6 against those teams earlier this season. So they got to get some get back against both of those squads. And it won't be easy. I think the key is to try to finish above 500 for the second consecutive season. And I don't know if the Royals can possibly do that unless they have a, like I said, a really strong week. I think that the team has played better against the Blue Jays, but yesterday's game, you saw some of the same inconsistencies that have plagued this team the entire season. You get some runners on base and you can't drop them in. And then also you see the Blue Jays take advantage of their opportunities, and that's how they won that game on Sunday. But all in all, like you said, Sunday's game is going to be what basically you remember of the Royals in the 2025 season, a team that had a lot of chances, just couldn't make them count.
This is the depressing talk on a Monday morning, I guess, putting a bow on this in a sad way. But, you know, obviously, was we're kind of recapping the season. You know, you think about what this Royals team was this year. You know, they really kind of just had two super hot stretches. And then for the rest of the way, I mean, they were basically teetering below the 500 line. You know, just kind of what is your outlook on this season? This is probably the most aggressive that they've been heading into a year. In quite some time. You know, is this a, you know, I don't want to say success or failure, just kind of what's your outcome on this?
Well, TJ, I think it's a success in a couple of ways. One, you have a wealth of pitching, which is great to use in the offseason, because if you need to go and improve the offense, which is what is the number one goal I believe they should do, they have the ammunition to go and do that. You look at what Stephen Kolick has done, Ryan Berger coming over from the San Diego Padres, right? They fit in well. They've shown that they can probably be very good pitchers for your starting rotation if you need them. And then you still have Chris Bubich, who's an all-star. He'll be back next year. You have Michael Wacha, Cole Reagans, and Seth Lugo all locked up and on long-term deals, right? So, I mean, Noah Cameron will be back, and he should be getting Rookie of the Year praise for what he's done this year, right? So they have the pitching that can really go deep and that can help them get what they need offensively. And another success, I think, is the coming out of Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen. I think both of those guys will both step up and be really strong. Jensen has proven already that he's ready to shine in the major leagues. He's just an incredible hitter. And I think Jack Caglione, that power will come through next year as he gets a full offseason to really see more and more pitchers and be ready to go, right? So I think that's the good thing, that the future is bright for the Royals. But this season, yeah, you have to finish with over 500, or else what was 2024 for anyway?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I can't decide how to evaluate this season, because it has been a lot of injuries, you know, and the offense was bad, but man, Reagans wasn't there a lot of the year. There's been a lot working against them. Unless they like lose all six of these, I don't think I'll think of it as a wildly disappointing. But the other reason, Jalen, is the pieces they went and acquired, as you were talking about from the Padres, those are long-term pieces. Is there much doubt at all that they're going to take what should be a wildly deep rotation? I mean, what are they healthy? 7-8 deep next year, and flip some of that for the bat they're looking for. And they've spent a ton of money. I don't know that free agency is going to be the path. I think we may see another old school baseball type trade like they made for Jonathan India for an outfield bat by using some of that pitching depth.
Yeah, I think that is probably the best way for them to go about it. Like you said, they don't really have a lot of money that they can just throw around, right? Because they got a lot of guys that are coming up on arbitration for the first time, so they got to figure out that for certain people. Do you give Michael Garcia an extension for what he's done this season and what he can be? What about Vinny Pasquantino? Does he get one? So you got to figure out all that, right? And then also the free agent outfield market isn't really that strong. You're not going to go and pay money for Kyle Schwarber, because he's probably not leaving Philadelphia, right? You're not going to pay for Kyle Tucker. Do you really want to have Cedric Mullins or Trent Grisham be the biggest addition for the outfield out there? So it might have to come via in trade for sure.
You talked about Carter Jensen there. That's something that I'm really interested in. And obviously, you talked about the future is kind of here. You know, the minor league system, you know, all those top prospects have kind of made their way up to this big league team. What role do you see Carter Jensen playing in? Is it something to where we saw like a Freddie Fermin before he got traded. Obviously, Salvador Perez is going to be back next year. How do you think they manage that?
Yeah, I think that the Royals will pick up Salvi's club option. I think maybe there was a fleeting thought earlier this season. I don't know. Maybe it might be best to, you know, renegotiate, but I think they'll pick up his club option because he's just been great the second half of the season. And I think for Carter Jensen, I think you'll start to see what a lot of teams kind of do have done, most notably the St. Louis Cardinals with Yadier Molina. I think that what you'll see is Salvi will continue to catch, but it might be a 40-60 split, you know? So maybe Salvi gets 60%, Carter gets 40% next year, right? And then you'll see Salvi gradually move into a DH first base kind of a role while keeping some of his catching, because the Royals have made it clear they really want him to continue to catch for his Hall of Fame candidacy, where he is known as a primary catcher. They don't want to do anything where it's like at the end of his career, he went only DH, because that could hurt him as he tries to, you know, get in the Hall of Fame, right? But I think he's already going to be a Hall of Famer, so that he might be okay if they start to make that transition. But I think Carter Jensen will probably take over 40% of the role, like you said, with Freddie Fermin, like did while he was here. And then in 2027, I think he'll be the main guy as a catcher.
And Salvi should make it easier on him too. Jalen, we appreciate all of it. We'll do this again after we get through this week and see if you've had a chance to postmortem with Piccolo or anybody else and see what we might do. But look, there are reasons to be engaged, I think, this week if you're a Royals fan on what's happening. You've got starts to be made still by Cole Reagans. One or two left scheduled.
He's pitching on Tuesday, so he might have one left.
I think technically he would be the starter Sunday if he starts Tuesday. I think that would be a good thing. See if you can get two more looks at him. But you know, that's probably as big as anything that happens down the home stretch. See how many wins you can get. You're at 78 now. You can get all the way up to 84.
There is no E next to their name. Okay, it's not over.
It's six not over. Half, you're absolutely six and a half. Right.
What's the magic number? Like 32 with six to go.
The magic number is probably like a half game. I have no idea what it is. Somebody would have to lose them all, and they would have to win them all, but then nobody else could win them. They need like three teams to lose them.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be like in the 20s.
Yeah.
If you're betting on the Royals to make the playoffs at any capacity, I wouldn't do that.
Are you saying we might have a problem, Jalen?
I'm just saying.
He's saying call that number.
That's like playing the lottery.
You know, you always have a chance to win the lottery, but
that's true.
Yeah.
Now you're making me want to go buy a lottery ticket and check the Royals odds. All right, Jalen, we appreciate it. KC Star, find his work at Jalen R. Thompson or at Jalen Thompson. I mean, on X. So get it all there. I'm bummed. I am bummed. I will say that. I thought we'd be playing October baseball this year.
Hey, well, that's okay, though. You know, I'll be in Anaheim, and hopefully I can make a trip over to Disneyland. So I'm okay.
That's a rough final week on the West Coast.
There you go.
I know, right? It's so bad. I mean, we're on the West Coast.
All right, Jalen. Safe travels. We'll talk again next week.
All right, see you guys later. Jalen
Thompson, our Royals insider. I don't know. I will need this week. I'm going to need a minute to decide if this season was disappointing.
I'll ask you this question. Do you feel better heading into 2026 than you did 2025?
No, probably not. No, I don't think so. Because Reagans is coming off a significant injury. Lugo is hurt. Bubic is hurt. Those are all questions we won't have the answer to going into next season.
Yes, that's true. I think
the offense struggled most of this year, like it did at the end of last year. Salvi is a year older. So no, I don't think there is any way I'll feel better about it, but that doesn't mean I don't think they can be better. They for sure can be better. If Jensen and Caglione's development continues, if they can utilize the pitching depth to flip for a bat, if Reagans and Lugo and Bubic are all healthy, yes, but I don't think we're going to know any of that until next year's games are played. We're not going to know if Cags and Carter Jensen can continue development in a positive way. We're not going to know if Lugo and Reagans and these guys are back to full. So we won't know that until they start playing games. So going into next year, there's like almost a 0% chance. I would say I feel better about it than I did this year. I had them in the World Series this year. So I loved their rotation enough and the idea of Cags call up enough. And it just kind of unraveled, you know, and no team overcomes the amount of pitching injuries they've had this year. That's the reality of it. And their offense wasn't very good.
That's the thing is, if you think about, like, if you tallied up all the injuries that they had of their, I mean, entire pitching staff, and you still find a way to go 500 with a roster that really did not produce hardly any runs at all, like, that's not bad. Like, that's pretty good.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm having a hard time. And the other factor for me to not call it a disappointing season is they were able to go trade for pieces that helped them beyond this year. The trades that they made are for players that should help them also in the future. Those are wins, right? Like, those are positive things that came out of the season. Michael Garcia's development is a major positive that came out of the season. So I can't just say, oh, what a terrible year. I don't think it was a terrible year. They just didn't meet expectations and wins and losses for a variety of reasons. But, you know, oh well. It's at least they got us to football season. All right, that does it for us, everybody. Boy, we are sure glad you were here with us, joining us. We've got tomorrow another big show for you. We will begin to look ahead to the next game for the Chiefs. We'll get the Royals back in action. We'll have a massive Monday Night Football game. We didn't have time to talk about it in a preview sense, but we'll get you all tomorrow. It's all What's on Tap tomorrow, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, WBC, Delano's, Debut Brew, Hatfield's Mama, German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character, smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's Debut Brew. It's available at all three WBC brew pubs. TJ, nice job. Ready to be on here more often, and you'll be with us all week this week.
I am. First show for the home studio, first full show. New background. I feel like AJ Hawk on the Pat McAfee show here, or like the Rappaport with the home studios type of thing.
Home studios, man. It's an evolving world. We appreciate Max Power for being with us. Good to have Max back from vacation. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly, you know, what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.